The subject of the scripture lesson this morning is do not worry. Or as Pastor Kent would say, don't sweat the small stuff. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thanks, Ron. Would you again pray with me? Father, this is a familiar, well-known passage. We've heard it repeatedly, and that may be at times something that needs to be taken away for a moment and given the opportunity to be heard with fresh ears. Lord, speak to us anew. May your spirit be empowered, and may we be your servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was told this phrase early in my ministry. I don't know if you've heard it. Don't sweat the small stuff. It's all small stuff. And the meaning of the phrase is, really, what are we worrying about? Now, one of the things that I look back in Christian life is I have heard on a regular basis people say to me, Christians don't worry. Really? That worry is somehow a sin. Really? For those of you who are old enough and have children that have gone through this, what was your emotion when your first child, for the first time, took your car out of the driveway alone? How many of you had confidence and peace? I remember when Eric drove out the driveway. I wanted to be on my knees. If you're a parent, you worry, don't you? That's just part of life. We worry all the time. You know, we worry about jobs. We worry about our family. We worry about all kinds of things. And I'm a grandfather. I worry about Noe. But the worry I have is temporary. The anxiety I feel passes. It's not something that haunts at the edge of my mind. It's not something that is there and comes creeping in at all times. But there are a number of people whose concerns, whose anxiety, who worry are not just simply passing. They are chronic. They are chronic anxiety. They have what we might refer to as GAD, GAD, generalized anxiety disorder. In other words, they're worrying, their anxiety interferes with life, maybe even to a crippling level. and it rules them. For almost maybe, I don't know, and you may want to check with other people. Maybe Dan will tell you, our friendly doctor, but I think around 45 million people suffer with this around the world. And to do this, they take what might refer to as anti-anxiety medications that have names like Lexapro, Cymbalta, Xanax, Zoloft, Effexor, Prozac, Paxil, Celexia, Valium, Ativan, Clonopin, Buspar, Renaria, Librium, Vestril, Cerax, and Destril. That is a $37 billion industry. In fact, if we were to sneak a look in some of your medicine cabinets, you might see some of these titles. But I'm not going to ask, and you're not going to tell. I find it ironic that you and I live in a country that has, and I know that statistics can make whatever it is, but really, we live in a country that probably has one of the highest standard of living across the board. We live better nowadays as a nation than almost anyone has in the history of our earth, yet we are chronically filled with anxiety. Anxiety that causes hypertension, sleep difficulties, digestion problems, relationship malfunctions. Worrying is not a new thing in the Bible. Not a new thing to humanity. Psalm 55 said, "Cast all your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall." Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you." Paul in the letter to Philippians chapter 2 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We have a promise of peace and of hope. We have a promise not to live in anxiety because we belong to Jesus. Well, how does that work? I think Jesus gives us a clue in the passage found in the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking to his disciples. And I think the bottom line for him is make sure your priorities are in the right order. Make sure the priorities are in the right order. You have them in the right order, everything will be in line. For a moment, I want you to take a checklist of the things that concern you the most. I don't even have to give you 5 seconds because they'll all fall right in a little line. Anybody got money on the list? How about health? Here's one that should never be there. How many of you have politics on your list? You know, by the way, you can thank the news organizations for that little gift. Of the top 5 things that cause you anxiety, how many of them are related to your relationship to Jesus? I'm going to guess that probably if there is one, that is rare. Most of our anxieties tend to be around things that revolve around ourselves. And Jesus said, if I can help you change those priorities, I will take care of a lot of your concerns. If you start at the beginning, it's where Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, where the NIV translates, "Therefore," the Greek says, "on account of this," on account of this, on account of what? Well, on account of everything prior to that, where he says, listen, let's make sure you stack up treasures in heaven and not treasures on earth. Because treasures on earth tend to have a way of going away and decaying and somehow being stolen. Treasures in heaven are constantly safe. Because where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. He ends up and says, you know that you can only serve one person. You can't split it up. You're either going to serve one master and love him and hate the other, or you're going to be devoted to one and despise the other. In other words, you can't serve God and material. So on account of this, Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. Have you ever noticed that as you grow older, your worries change? When I was in teenagers, my number one worry was girls. Then I got into college. Then my number one worry was job and how do I get my next meal? Then I got married. Then I had to figure out how am I going to, you know, what is this going to go involve? Well, I started worrying about the children I had. Then they got to the point where they drove, and then I was completely unhinged. And then I had to worry about college. How do I pay college for that? And how do I do this? And how do I do that? Now I'm a grandparent and I'm old and now I'm thinking about, I'm going to be 60 this summer. I can't even believe that. I'm still in denial. I still think I am in middle age. And I don't know that many 120-year-old people. So I am now, yeah, I've gone over the hill and I'm gone on the other side and somebody has greased the path. Because I'm sliding faster than I thought I would. I'm going to be 60 years old. For those of you that have already crossed that barrier, I know it's no big deal. But for those of us who are still on that side, that's kind of where death starts showing up. And so you don't really want to even think about that, you know? And so you start going over there, and people are now talking about retirement. And I'm going, uh-uh. And it starts saying, well, you know, these are the golden years of your life. And I'm thinking, No. I mean, in my mind, I'm still 17 years old. You know, I still think that way. And so all of a sudden, do not worry about your life. And I'm thinking, okay, what are you talking about, Jesus? Because I think worrying, to tell somebody they never worry, that's just ridiculous. I think that's some of the worst advice we've ever given. Don't worry about your life. And Jesus is the greatest authority on this. And he says, what are you talking about? Don't worry about survival. That's the key. Don't worry about survival. You see, when they're talking about what are you going to eat or what are you going to drink or what about your body or what are you going to wear, those are not worries that you and I have. Anybody got something in your fridge? How many got stuff in the fridge for lunch? You got to dig something out, you can find something. There's something there. And I don't mean stuff that's got fuzz on it. I'm talking about legitimate eating stuff. Okay? How many of you have closets that are too big? Anybody got a closet that's too big? You could use half because you got so few clothes, right? We don't worry about those things. Think about the day of Jesus. You have no storage, no refrigeration, you have nothing. The economic level, they were the poor. For them, questions of food and drink and clothing were survival issues. And they were legitimate questions. What am I going to eat today? Where is it going to come from? How do I get the food? These are things that they constantly had to deal with. For us, it's much different. You want to know what we worry about? Just watch all the commercials that are on the evening, and you'll see all the concerns of this day and age. Will you outlast your retirement funds? What kind of health issues are attacking you? Are the bills around you exceeding faster than your income? Those are survival issues. But we don't have to ask questions about where we're going to live and how we're going to do this and what's going to happen. For the majority of us, there are some who ask those legitimate questions. But Jesus is saying, don't worry about your survival. Lift your eyes up a little higher. Don't get excited about that. Don't worry about taking the basics of life and making sure everything is there. Isn't life more than food? And the body more than clothes? And the answer is absolutely. But we are trained to think at the lowest level. We are trained to have our anxieties rule our directions of thought. And Jesus said, make your priorities different. Make your priorities different, and all of that will go away. Trust me. Have faith in me, and it will all change. And Jesus, I like how he does this. He just sort of says, well, would you do me a favor? Would you just look at the birds that are flying around us? Do you see the birds in the air? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow, they do not reap, they do not store, which, by the way, was the three major financial activities of their day. Sowing, reaping, and storing. That's how you get food. You had to have food. You had short growing seasons, long eating seasons. You have to be able to sow, reap, and store. That's how you survive. They don't do any of those, and somehow God feeds them. They have financial security, and they don't worry about any of that. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they? And the answer is yes. You and I are far more valuable. I think he says in Luke that you can buy two of these birds for a penny. Yeah, you're far more valuable. Do you understand your value to the heavenly Father? Jesus uses a term that we have a Father in heaven who loves us, and he wants us to know about our absolute value that we have in God's eyes. And he asks the question of the morning. Here's the question. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Absolutely not. Would I be correct, those of you in the health, that anxiety actually shortens lifespan? Is that a fair thing to say? That anxiety has the possibility of shortening a lifespan. I can't add it. By the way, the Bible says cubit. And I don't think anybody wants to add 18 inches. Well, maybe some people. But I don't want to add 18 inches, so I'm not looking about that. So he's talking about an hour to life. If you can't do such a small, easy thing, well, then why are you getting wound up about that? If you can't add a single hour to your entire life, which is minuscule, think about it. You have 24 hours a day. You got 168 hours a week. You multiply that by 52 and add that by 70. You have that. Doing one, you're not even adding a 100th of a percent to your life. Well, why are you getting so upset? And why do you worry about clothes? Why do you worry about appearance? Isn't it interesting? How much thought did you give to what you were wearing this morning? How much thought do you give? I could go into a long description of what happens at my house, but I'm smarter than that. But there are people who go in there, and there are people who worry about, like, you know, you wore that tie with that outfit? You know, they worry about it. They want us to look good. Well, that's not. They want it to be warm enough. They want it to be cold enough. They want it to be whatever. They were worried about their clothes. How do I clothe myself? And he goes over and says, do you see the wildflowers around us? I know it says lilies in most of your translations, but it's wildflowers. Do you see the wildflowers around you, how beautiful they are? Solomon, in all of his glory, was never clothed in such a regale. They don't spin, they don't labor, they don't do any of that stuff. And yet they exceed the glory that God gave to the greatest king, the wealthiest person in his day. Solomon probably was equivalent to Bill Gates in the wealth that he had. Old Testament billionaire. And Jesus said, if that's how God decides to clothe the grass of the field, which in the morning rises up and the evening is dried out, and then you pluck it and you throw it into the ovens to heat your food, if it's something that transitory and temporary, God makes that beautiful, don't you think he will take care of you? And he calls them a name he uses three times in the Bible, little faiths. He called them a little faith when they were having problems in the boat in chapter 8 of Matthew, when they were screaming at him, "Why are you sleeping? We're going to drown." And he says, "Oh, come on, guys. Oh, little faith, what's the problem?" And he tells it about Peter when he was walking on the water and took his eyes off Jesus and sunk like a rock. And Jesus goes, "Oh, come on, little faith, what's going on here?" I think that's a great description of us. Little faith. And I don't think it means derogatory. I think it is a reflection of who we are. There are times that our faith is the size of a mustard seed because we tend not to exercise it. There is a lie in our country that we have bought and we have held on to and have cherished, and that is the lie of self-dependence. We do everything on our own. That's not true. And I'm not talking about in a political sense. I mean, it's not simply not true. We don't do anything on our own. We do it all interconnected with one another. We all support and nurture one another. Everything I do is involved with something that comes along. And Jesus is telling us, you don't do anything without my ability and strength to care for you. So why don't you trust me more? Why don't you depend upon me more every day? Are you worried about your money? Give it to me. I'll take care of it. Do you really think I'm going to leave you out on a lurch? I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to nurture you. So let me call you something other than little faith. Little faith. And Jesus said, so stop living a life of anxiety. Stop living a life of concern. Stop living a life ruled by the anxiety. The anxiety of what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Stop being ruled by the priorities of this world and be ruled by the priorities of the kingdom of God and let his rule wash over you. Medical care, it will happen. Financial planning, it will happen. The temporary obsessions that you and I have, it will be taken care of. Have you ever noticed that a problem you have disappears generally within 72 hours and another problem has now taken its place? Whatever horrendous event has fallen into your lap, it's pretty much gone within 3 days, and you got a new one looking at you, staring you straight in the face that now becomes the central obsession. Don't worry about these things. The pagans run after these things. The pagans run completely. It would, again, be a very fascinating thing if you just sat for an evening and just paid attention to the commercials and said, this are the obsessions of our culture. This is what we're looking at. And put them into categories and columns and see what it is that we are so focused on. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Your Heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. Give God the little bit of credit that he deserves. He knows without a question the things that you and I require. Here's the priority. Verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. May the concern, the primary and overwhelming priority of your life be the kingdom of God. May it be the kingdom of God at your work. May it be the kingdom of God in your relationships. May it be the kingdom of God in your home. May it be the kingdom of God in your financial dealings, in your recreational, in every element of your life. May the kingdom of God be the first and overwhelming priority of who you are. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May that be the priority of what you and I do. To love God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. To know who my God is and to let him be the one that rules everything in my neighborhood. to touch my neighbors with the joy, peace, love, forgiveness, hope, and joy that God has, to care for the struggling, to help heal the hurting, to love our neighbor more than we love ourselves, to seek the kingdom of God above all else, to make that the top and overriding, without any option, the priority, the passion of our lives, because everything else is going to fall into place. Therefore, verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow. I wish we learned how to do that. Don't worry about tomorrow. How many of you have ever worried about something and it just ate at you, it made your stomach upset, you worried about this event, and you got there and it turned out to be this monstrous, was a little tiny problem, and nothing at all. You're worried about a meeting at work, you're worried about a call you got to make to your child, you're worried about a doctor's appointment, you're worried about, and all of a sudden in your mind it builds, and all of a sudden it's nothing. I can't do anything about tomorrow. Now, we're not saying you don't prepare, you don't plan, but you put everything in the process and the love of God. And don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to worry about itself. Each day has sufficient evil to itself. I think this verse 34 ought to be taped on every refrigerator in the United States. Let's live in a sense of calm and a sense of peace, because our God is with us. Each day has enough problems. Each day is going to do it. I don't know what you've got planned for today. I know that probably somewhere in the middle, there are some things that you need to take care of. But our concern right here and right now is to bring our unfettered joy, our passion, our worship to the God in heaven and lay it before Him and say, "We are yours, God. Without question, we are yours." I wish there was a way that we could show our culture the joy of the Lord, the peace that passes understanding. Anxiety and stress are going to come into our lives. If somebody blows through a stop sign and you almost get hit, I'm going to guarantee you, your anxiety level is punched up a little bit. If you all of a sudden forgot something, and you didn't write a check down in the register, and you accidentally overdrew your account, a little anxiety comes up, but it goes away. You all of a sudden hear something about a granddaughter or a child that's coming, anxiety will crop up for a little minute. That's not what he's talking about. He said, do not live a life of fear. Why? Because we serve the Almighty God. Do not live a life of concern, being obsessed with survival. Why? We serve the Lord of the universe, who brought everything into being, who will take care of us. Who, by worrying, can do anything other than subtract from your life? No one. Now, Jesus was not a guru of business, but I think at times he would say, don't sweat the small stuff. Everything other than the kingdom of God is small stuff. And may the peace of Christ, which passes understanding of everyone, may it fill your life both today and forever. Amen.